Haskell, brother and sister. St. Helena, California. February 11, 1909. Elder Haskell Box, 597, Oakland, California. Dear brother and sister Haskell, I stood the journey home well. I was not weary and did not lie down any of the way, though the car, it seemed to me, jolted more and made more noise than any I've traveled in for a long time. At St. Helena, Brother James met us with the covered carriage and another wagon for our luggage. When we reached home, Minnie gave me a good bath, and I slept well through the night until my usual hour in the morning. I am very thankful that I attended the meeting in Oakland. I sincerely hope that you will continue to be blessed and favored by the Lord. The blessing that the Lord gave me on Monday morning, as I addressed his people, was an assurance of his love and an encouragement regarding the simplicity of the message that we are to give to the people at this time. We are not to flatter any soul, but we are to do all in our power to diffuse the light of truth found in the Word of God. I am sincerely glad, my brother and sister, that you can work together so successfully for the circulation of our publications. This kind of work is to be appreciated, not only as something that will bring decided benefit to our own people, but because these books and periodicals contain clear presentations of present truth, but will win many to the precious faith we hold. I would say to you, continue to exert your influence for the wider circulation of our publications. Make the truths coming from our press a power in proclaiming the message for this time. The Savior was untiring in his work of ministry, traveling on foot day after day, and gathering the multitudes about him that he might fasten the truths of the Word upon their minds. We are to do all in our power in these last days to diffuse the rays of light. Last night I seemed to be earnestly addressing congregations of our people, telling them that the messages which have come to them in straightforward discourses were not sent to amuse them, no, but to arouse them, to give the last gospel message to the world. They were sent to waken up the watchmen, that they might proclaim with power the warning message, even the third angel's message. We have the everlasting gospel to preach to all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. It is to go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come." All are to be exhorted to worship him that made heaven and earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. Now is our time. Now is our opportunity. I seemed to be presenting these things to the people with clearness and power. The time will not be long delayed when a full Sabbath will be exalted, and men will be commanded to regard as sacred a day that has no sanctity in it. This spurious Sabbath will be made a testing question with all. John writes, "I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell upon the earth, and to every kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters.' And there followed another angel, saying, 'Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.'" Revelation 14, verse 6 to 8. How is this done? By forcing men to accept a spurious Sabbath. In the 31st chapter of Exodus, we are plainly told which is the day that God has sanctified and blessed. It is the Sabbath given in Eden. After God had created the world in 6 days, he rested on the seventh and was refreshed. And the Lord set apart the seventh day as the rest day of man. We are not left in ignorance concerning this matter. The keeping of the Sabbath is declared to be the sign between God and his people of their loyalty to him.
God has never changed the day of his rest to the first day of the week. I wish I could write you all that I seemed to be saying to the people last night. The Spirit of the Lord was upon me. I advise you now to be careful of your strength. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord will help you in every emergency, unless you cease to put your trust in him. The time has come when I must put my writing aside, for it is growing dark. But I would say in closing, keep your hearts cheered with joy and gladness. Bear a straightforward message, whether men will hear or whether they will forbear. The Lord is good. Choose as workers men who will carry their responsibilities as a sacred charge, and who will not seek to bring truth into obedience to human authority.